Recording in progress.
Good evening. I'd like to call to order the, what's the date today? August 5th, 2024 meeting of the Design Review Board. Let's begin with a roll call.
Randall Brand.
Present.
Amanda Breadlow. Carlos Castaneda.
Present.
Supriya Kelkar.
Present.
Tyler Smith. Amy Tarse.
Present. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is, I don't think we have any minutes, so we will keep going. And so the next item is just the announcement of the agenda. So for today, the main item on our agenda is the Conceptual Design Conference for 177 Central Way Mixed-Use Project. Before we have staff do the presentation, I'd like to invite anyone in the public, if we have anyone who would like to provide us with any general comments that not related to the project. It appears like we don't have any members of the public that have attended this meeting, so we can go ahead and start the presentation from staff.
All right, thank you very much. Tony Levitt representing the Kirkland Planning Department. So again, this is a continuation, the second conceptual design conference for this project. The first one we had was on July 1st. So I'll go over briefly some of the key items that we're going to want to look at tonight, and then also discuss real quickly what items the board requested from the applicant at the last meeting, and then we'll let the applicants do their presentation. To start, I just wanted to do a brief overview of the process for this project. Tonight's meeting is the first step and is called the Conceptual Design Conference. The DRB will review the applicant's concepts for the project and decide if the project is ready to proceed to the next phase, which is the Design Response Conference. During the Design Response Conference phase, which will be the start of the official public notice process, the DRB will review the project for compliance with the applicable design guidelines and zoning requirements that require approval by the DRB. They also review any zoning modification requests as allowed by the code. Prior to issuance of the DRB decision, staff will be working on the issuance of a SEPA environmental determination. The primary focus of that determination will be traffic, the traffic impacts of the project, but we'll also look at other environmental issues. The final step in the development process is the review and issuance of a building permit. The permit application will be reviewed by the city staff, including the planning, fire, building, and public works departments. Planning review will focus on compliance with zoning requirements, including things like the permitted uses, heights, setbacks, rooftop elements, and parking. So again, the site is located at 177 Central Way and zone CBD 1A. The property currently contains the single-story U.S. Bank building. The property has street frontage along Central Way to the north. An unimproved alley exists to the west of the segment property, currently part of the Lake and Central parking lot, and an improved alley to the south of the subject property. The applicant is proposing to construct a four-story mixed-use project with approximately 4,000 square feet of ground floor commercial area and 25 to 30 residential units. Parking is proposed within an at-grade and below-grade structured parking lot, and vehicular access to the property is proposed from Central Way and via an alley to the west of the subject property. Again, at the July 1st meeting, the board had requested the applicant provide consistent graphics for each of the massing options, including views of each facade and removal of the canopies to make the building mass clearer. The additional items that the board requested included that the applicant explore providing more community-oriented plaza space at the northwest corner of the project, and additional pedestrian amenities along the Central Way frontage, including seating areas and landscaping. I'll do a brief overview of the key zoning regulations. As far as permitted uses are concerned in this zone, include but are not limited to retail, restaurant, banking, financial services, office, and residential. Office and residential uses may not be located on the ground floor of a structure unless there is a minimum 30-foot in depth intervening retail use. Lobbies for residential uses may be allowed subject to design guidelines and approval by the DRB. The applicant is proposing a ground floor residential lobby. We would ask the DRB review the proposed residential lobby and provide guidance for the design response conference. The required ground floor uses shall have a minimum depth of 20 feet and an average of depth of at least 30 feet. The DRB may approve a minor reduction in the depth requirement if the applicant demonstrates that the requirement is not feasible given the configuration of the proposed improvements and the design of the retail frontage will maximize visual interest. The applicant has noted that they are proposing a reduction in the depth requirements from an average of 30 feet to 25 feet. As far as height is concerned, the CBD 1A zone allows a maximum height of 45 feet above each abutting right-of-way. In this case, the right-of-way is only Central Way. The zoning code states that no portion of a building within 30 feet of Central Way may exceed a height of 41 feet above Central Way. The minimum ground floor height is 15 feet. Certain elements, including parapets, peaked roofs, rooftop stair and elevator overruns, and rooftop amenity common rooms can exceed the height limit subject to specific requirements in the zoning code. As far as upper story setback is concerned, structures along Central Way are required an upper story setback of 30 feet for any portion of the building that exceeds 41 feet. The applicant's preferred massing option includes building square footage that extends 5 feet into the required upper story setback on level 4. The DRB is authorized to allow a reduction of the required upper story setback by no more than 5 feet, subject to the following requirements. Each square foot of additional building area proposed within the setback is offset by an additional square foot of public open space at the street level. For purpose of calculating the offsetting square footage along Central Way, the open space area at the second and third stories located directly above the proposed ground floor level open space is included. The public open space in this case is located, additionally, the public open space is required to be located along the sidewalk frontage and will not be covered by buildings. As part of the design response submittal, the applicant will need to provide detailed plans for the proposed fourth story setback reduction and an analysis that shows compliance with the upper story setback reduction requirements. As far as sidewalks are concerned, I'm sorry, I went slide too far there. As far as sidewalks are concerned, Central Way is designated as a pedestrian-oriented street. The required sidewalk along Central Way shall be a minimum width of 12 feet with an average width of 13 feet. The sidewalk configuration shall be approved by the DRB as part of the design response conference. The initial design calls for a pedestrian sidewalk easement for a portion of this sidewalk. The zoning code allows a building to extend over the sidewalk easement subject to specific design guidelines. The associated design guidelines state the building may be allowed to cantilever over the sidewalk if it is consistent with the following guidelines. The total length of cantilevered portions of the building shall not be more than one-third of the entire length of the building facade. The cantilever portion of the building should be spread out and not consolidated in a single area on the building facade. Unobstructed pedestrian flow should be maintained through the subject property to adjoining sidewalks. Space under the cantilever building should appear and function as part of the public realm. And finally, the sense of enclosure is minimized. The final sidewalk configuration will need to be reviewed by the Public Works Department and approved as part of the Design Response Conference decision. As part of the Design Response Conference application, the applicant will need to show compliance with the zoning requirements and design guidelines. As far as the design guidelines are concerned, the ones we're going to be looking at in this case are design guidelines for pedestrian-oriented business districts. I did include, as part of the staff memo, attachment 4, which highlights some of the special considerations that apply to specifically to the project area. These guidelines include providing wider sidewalks throughout the downtown, pedestrian-friendly storefronts and public open space along building frontages, traditional window fenestration patterns, required upper story setbacks with landscaping and balconies to provide visual interest, and finally, design and detailing of new buildings on corner sites. In the staff memo, staff has listed some of the key discussion questions and items that should be addressed during tonight's meeting. These include, first, how does the site relate to the surroundings? What are some of the key advantages of the project? Identify appropriate mitigation techniques for building massing of the proposed building. How does the proposed massing and location of the structure relate or respond to the pedestrian environment? What are opportunities for pedestrian spaces at the street level, including plazas and outdoor dining areas? How would the project engage pedestrians? What are opportunities for landscaping on the subject property? We want you to provide feedback on the proposed, also provide feedback on the proposed reduction of the required floor depth for the retail spaces and the upper story setback reduction. So tonight, we'd like the board to look at. We'd obviously want you to look at the applicant's massing options and provide guidance to them. Determine what design guidelines apply to the proposed project and how the applicant should look to address those as part of the design response conference. And finally, we want you to outline what application materials will be needed for that DRC application. With that, that concludes my presentation. Any questions?
Thank you. DRB members, do you have a question for staff?
Nope.
No? Okay. I do have one, sure. Just for clarification. I know I appreciate the excellent presentation. I think it's great that staff starts off with just explaining the entire process where the DRB review fits in the entire, in the stream of, from application to approval.
Mm-hmm.
For tonight's meeting, given that this is a conceptual review. I noticed that some of the criteria that you identified, for this project are really things that we cannot address today, like, for instance, the detailing of the buildings and the fenestration.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to be clear that we're not going to be discussing that today.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Great. That's okay. All. Thank you. Now we'd like to invite the applicant to come on and do their presentation.
Hello. So I'll take a second and kind of reintroduce who we are just for those who weren't here at the last meeting. I'm Nick Tosti. I'm a principal with the Coeur d'Alene Group. Coeur d'Alene Group is a developer, local developer. We are officed here in Kirkland. Our company, as it is constituted today, has been in Kirkland for 4 years, been around for 4 years, but the group itself has been working together in Kirkland since about 2010. So we've been around for 14 years in the area and have quite a bit of projects close in. And I want to, before we turn it over to Bayless and Meredith, I want to talk about a couple quick background items, just knowledge to help with the conversation tonight. The first is, from the first CDC meeting, one of the predominant themes was activating the northwest corner of the building, which, to be honest with you, we agreed with and thought that was a worthy exercise. There's a couple existing constraints on the property to be aware of. The property itself, as it runs parallel to Central Way, it actually drops 2 feet from the west side of the building to the east side of the building. So as it relates to finished floor elevations in the retail space and making that work with the pedestrian access without ramps, some of the ramps and steps, that was one of the big challenges we had in trying to activate that corner. And one of the ways that we did that is to use the peaked roof zoning code So you'll see in two of the schemes, we added pitched roofs, and that allows us to make the retail component of the building work with the pedestrian access in the northwest corner. So that's why those were added to the scheme. So I want to give you that background. And then this is background we talked about at the last meeting, but new information for those who weren't there. You know, we, before going through this process, we went through a process with Public Works to talk about the right-of-way and what needs to happen in that area, the downtown core area. And one of their big desires is opening up the existing alley. So that's why we are opening up the alley. And that's why access is located the way it is. It helps us, in a partnership with the city, address some of the existing issues down there. The existing alley has got pretty poor service level, frankly, and that has to do with trash and deliveries for tenants, business tenants, and stuff like that. So we're trying to figure out ways to solve those problems. And the way the building is oriented and the access is oriented, it helps us do that in a partnership with Public Works. So I want to make sure you guys have that background as we start the conversation tonight. So I'll turn it over to Meredith now.
Good evening. My name is Meredith Everest, and I'm with Bayless Architects. And thank you for the opportunity to present to you this evening. Let's see here. So I'd like to start by sharing our takeaways from the first conceptual design conference. We were asked to demonstrate street-level engagement and a design approach that is sensitive to the site and character of downtown Kirkland, recognizing that this is a prominent and important location that will set the tone for future adjacent developments. Board members described wanting to see a design that evokes a sense of the village atmosphere and enhance the eclectic character that is Kirkland. We were also asked to provide more plaza space for the community, specifically at that west corner. The West Corner is an opportunity to enhance the connection to the Lake Street intersection and draw pedestrians in from the west to the east. We were also asked to consider street-level amenities like the furnishings, vegetation, and other features that feel public and are welcoming for pedestrians. And then also to provide consistency in our graphic presentation. So what we're seeing here are the previous design iterations. And so what we're seeing here are our proposed options. And in response to the board comments, we're presenting these three enhanced massing options, illustrating a range of street level experiences, each with pedestrian circulation, amenities, and to enhance that experience. Options A and C both include plaza features to support a variety and concentration of activity and essentially nodes at the street level that can be unique and engaging elements to enrich that village experience. Okay, so starting with option A, this one we're calling it our West Plaza. It is a massing that is a direct response to the board's request to explore that plaza at the northwest corner. So as you see in the northwest view, we are visually opening up this corner of the building to the Lake Street intersection, creating an opportunity for an inviting node for activity and engagement. This option also emphasizes that horizontal building modulation, which helps to ground the building, giving it a sense of stability and visually reducing the scale and mass of the building. There is a vertical element that is introduced by the residential entry. The entry is not a primary feature, but the vertical expression does create an opportunity to break up the mass and provide modulation and architectural interest. We have a regular pattern of covered decks along Central Way and the South Alley, and these further break up the volume of the building into smaller units, identifying the building as residential and reinforcing that human scale. And at the roofline, this is where we're proposing that sloped roof element. This feature does create a really interesting effect along the roofline and also emphasizes the horizontality of the massing. So looking at this concept in plan view, you see the Northwest Plaza, and this is sized to complement that non-residential use, which may be a restaurant. So it offers that opportunity for indoor-outdoor seating. The newly opened alley to the west, this one, it could be designed with a Verneuf concept, kind of calming the traffic patterns and increasing that sense of space for the plaza. And in addition to that 4-foot dedication that would occur at the West Alley, we are also proposing in this scheme another walkway. So we're pulling the building back, the non-residential portion of the building back, to create a walkway from the parking area to the plaza. And we are also proposing landscape improvements that basically line the frontage of the building. It would actually connect from the intersection all the way to the developed site to reinforce that pedestrian experience and make that connection more solid and carry those features, planters, and seating all the way across the frontage of the site. Okay, and moving on to concept B, this option illustrates the vertical, kind of a vertical emphasis with proportioned bays for the residential units. The bays would be organized in groups along Central Way and would turn the corner to the west, creating also modulation and interest to the west side of the building. These bays give a sense of scale and articulation to the facade. The massing has a more rhythmic pattern with both the bay projections and then the deck recesses. Let's see. And in this option, we're not introducing a plaza, but we are maximizing the non-residential square footage, and we are maintaining that concept of bringing pedestrian furnishings and plantings along the frontage to give that visual interest. Okay, so moving on to option C, which is our preferred option. And this one is designed with two public plazas, one at the northwest corner and a second toward the center of the site. And the northwest corner plaza is sized again to complement the likely restaurant space, supporting an indoor-outdoor seating arrangement. The plaza would be partially covered. So as you look at the northwest view, We see this partial covering as allowing a more versatile use of the space, making it more usable during inclement weather. And these stepped floor levels would be creating volumes that are approximately 10 feet at that lower, I'm sorry, 15 feet at that lower step and 25 feet at that upper overhang. The second plaza, which is more centrally located, would be open to the sky. And this creates that strong vertical feature, visually, again, segmenting the building into two smaller masses. Another architectural element giving this building human scale and emphasizing the residential use are the recessed decks. And we're proposing a playful kind of rhythmic deck pattern along the central wayside and a little bit more formality along the alley side. This option also has that horizontal modulation, again, grounding the building and reducing the mass. The horizontality is reinforced by both the upper floor setback and, again, the peaked roof line. We envision this roof line might have either a change in plane or a change in material or a change in color to create that visual interest and maybe even a shadow line along the top of the building. For exterior materials on this project, we're starting to envision a palette of high-quality materials, including metal siding, maybe pre-finished siding at the residential levels that are in a natural color palette, and materials like high-performance composite panels and/or ceramic cladding and aluminum storefront that would occur at the ground floor. So looking at this in plan view, both plazas engage with the primary non-residential space, creating and reinforcing that concept of indoor-outdoor dining or indoor-outdoor activities. The Northwest Plaza, as illustrated, it's approximately 270 square feet. It's about 19 feet deep by about 14 feet wide, as illustrated. And the Central Plaza is about 360 square feet. That's about 11 to 12 feet deep by 30 feet wide. The two plazas would be connected to each other with the vegetation, seating areas, and other things that feel public and welcoming to pedestrians. And as Nick noted, we are navigating a change in the grade. So through use of landscape planters and steps, these are the things that will support that change in grade and accommodate a fluid and accessible transition from the sidewalk to the plaza spaces. And this concept, similar to option A, could support the Vernif concept as well. So in closing, our preferred option provides the pedestrian-oriented elements that are varied and enriched with vegetation and street furnishings, creating spaces that foster an eclectic and welcoming public amenity, revitalizing the site, and creating a sense of space for the community. So thank you again, and our team is here to answer any questions.
Thank you. Does the DRB have any questions for the applicant? Great, Supriya.
So apologies if this is my first time for this meeting.
Sure.
So if there are questions that were already answered, sorry about that. The plaza on that northwest corner, I thought in that KZC section, it said that it should not be covered by buildings.
So we are proposing the two plazas. So the one in the middle would be open to the sky.
I see.
And that's the one that we would use to make the trade-off for the additional space on the upper floor.
And then can you talk a little bit about the roof lines? Because when I looked at the massing, I really couldn't see how a pedestrian would really even see those peaked roof lines.
It would be most visible from that Lake Street intersection as you're looking, or from, you know, from across the street, where you would look across and see it from, you would see a slight angle. So for example, yeah, so example in the northwest view that you see there, and even the northeast view, so you'll probably see it across the street. And I think what will mostly catch your eye is the change in material. So, you know, this is still to be determined, but we may have a lighter material at the wall level, and then maybe a dark line or dark recessed area. So it is going to feel more like a shadow line, I believe. It'll be subtle.
Another question I had was for your option B. In the plan, it showed a wider lobby. Was there a reason why you have a wider residential lobby as compared to the other two options? Could you make it so that you have a deeper plaza instead?
Correct, yes. Yeah, there is some flexibility with the lobby. It was really to demonstrate an alternative concept. Okay. But yes, the lobby that we're proposing in option C could be consistent across all options.
All right. That's all I had.
Thank you. Randall?
I've got a couple of questions. I guess I'm not quite sure what's driving the sloped, the pitch portion of the roof. Is that just to get that up to where you're identifying that line, or what was driving that? I didn't quite catch that as to.
Yeah, the initial driver is, as written in the code, there is some incentives to have peaked elements. So you get an additional 5 feet if you have a peak that is 3 to 12 or greater, and you get an additional 8 feet if you have a peak that's 4 and 12 or greater, if I remember correctly. So there is a bit of incentivization to get the peaked element. Okay. So we started looking at that, and we actually really liked it. We felt that it was an architectural feature that made the building stronger, in addition to getting a little bit additional height to, as Nick described, help navigate the grade. So that the 2 foot difference in grade from one end to the other doesn't feel like a lot when you're standing there looking at it, but when you're trying to design plazas that are accessible, that don't have a lot of steps in them, bringing that up a little bit helps us quite a bit.
Okay. I mean, that 2 foot is not that perceiving that 2 foot across the central way side of this, as you walk it, you really don't perceive that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, until we started studying that plaza, we didn't think of it as an issue. And then we started looking at actually providing
and
access.
Nick, can you come up to the mic, please? Thanks.
To be honest with you, we didn't think of it as an issue initially until we started studying that northwest corner and realized how difficult it was to provide ADA access and make it work with the pedestrian area, pedestrian walkway. And that's kind of what drove that pitch roof design change.
Okay. Thank you. Now, in regards to the pitch roof, what effect does that have on your rooftop amenities? And are you on some of this, or you're pitching it back towards the north so you don't have south facing, I assume, clear story windows in that, or you may or may not, or what are you thinking on that, or have you determined that?
We haven't determined it entirely. We do. Oh, sure.
Hi, my name is Juan Garcini with Bayless Architects, and the intention of this peak also is that we intend to have some clear story so we can have windows. Is facing to the north, so the idea is to have more light, obviously, because we are in the north. And if you see, the south also has the peak going to the north. The idea is to get light from the north side.
Okay. So, yeah. As you now, if taking it back to the central way side and that down on the pedestrian level, on several of the options, you've got where the building is cantilevering out over the sidewalk. Now, are you going to then, in other areas along that, have canopies coming out also?
Yes, we do envision a series of canopies along the front edge, in addition to the overhangs. I mean, we haven't worked out that level of detail, but that is the plan, is to have a continuous pedestrian coverage.
Well, as we look at that, just as I don't know if this is the place to bring it up, but as I have walked downtown Kirkland more in the last week because of this project, really taking a look at it, and that in a lot of areas, if you look at your floor plan, the retail level one, on option C, and then I think on the other option, you show the building overhanging, or you know, you're going to have canopies coming out, but then you show landscaping up against the building that essentially column lines. And I would just ask you to take a look at that, because there's several locations in downtown Kirkland, in front of the Vila project, the new project with replaced Hector's. We have a very narrow sidewalk there, but then what ended up in there is 2 foot wide planters that are sitting on the sidewalk at the column lines that take up, then the canopy comes out over it, and then you got the planter with a canopy over it. And as far as pedestrians going up and down the sidewalk, the canopy's kind of worthless. And the same thing happens over at where Kirkland Bakery and Paint and Sip, or whatever it's called, there you've got 5 foot overhangs, but then you got about 4.5 foot wide planters. And so as a pedestrian, you don't walk under the canopy pedestrians as you, I mean, go down and watch them walk, they walk in straight lines. They don't walk around. So I'm pointing that out as you're looking at, and as we're looking at this and saying, okay, yeah, we have overhangs and we have this, but are they really driving the interaction with the pedestrian, or are they actually interrupting that flow? Mm-hmm. And maybe you want to interrupt that flow. Maybe that's part of the idea of is interrupting it. So just a point. If you go to the elevations again of C, let's see. I guess I kind of answered my own question. The alleys that surround the building, as you look at this, it's really, I think what we're trying to replicate is really the alley that if you go to the Villa project and in the Bank
of America. Excuse me, Randall, are you ready? So we're still focusing on the questions?
Well, I'm focusing on the alleys here.
Okay.
There's an element here that, okay, that you've introduced a rounded corner into the project. And I think what that is so you can get a garbage truck around the corner. But I'm assuming that the alleys that we're driving for, where we're opening up the new alley that really is right at the parking lot, and then it turns down and it goes down along the backside where you share an alley with Zeke's Pizza and that type of thing, that we're really driving for something that's visually similar to what would be between Bank America and the Villa project there, where you've really got a finished alley. It's when you I mean, the perception downtown alley is a bunch of garbage cans and that type of thing, or is it something that's a little bit cleaner? And I'm not sure, because this particular site where you're located, if there's an alley going through there, coming from Park Lane, it actually gives a thoroughfare between Park Lane and Central Avenue. And so you're going to have pedestrians running through there. And so I'm just...
The plan is to have a much more finished alley there. And that's part of why you see a new alley opened up. And that's part of why you see the radius on the building, because we're proposing a 4-foot easement granted to the city on the west portion up against the new alley, and a 2-foot easement on the south side, of the building. And a lot of that is to deal with trash and to deal with a trash truck, also to deal with delivery trucks, which might actually be the bigger issue, right, when you get multiple delivery trucks at once. So having an alley that can handle all that and then also look good, be finished, keep the trash in the light location, allow pedestrians to use it. I mean, it's a bit of a problem, so it needs to be resolved. That's why you see that on the building.
And is the 4-foot easement on scheme A and C?
But it's on, not that on, is on all schemes, yeah.
All three, yep, okay. Yep. I think that satisfies my questions at this point.
Thank you. Hello. Carlos.
Hello.
Hello.
Could you just elaborate more on the more new finish at the alley? What does it make it different from, I guess, at the others? Just curious on what strategies you guys are envisioning.
Yeah, we were proposing it in option A. It's really a concept to, if we can bring that plaza level up to the 2 feet so that it's pretty much at grade with that corner of the sidewalk. It would be a factor of working with the city to provide different materials on that alley so that it feels like the plaza is opening up. So providing kind of traffic calming features and not a rigid barrier between the street or between the alley and the plaza. And so the similar thing could take effect on the option C as well. So it's a concept to kind of just open up that plaza a little bit more visually, even though technically vehicles still could use the alley.
Okay. And just for the ground level, I'm seeing that this property is almost getting to the zero lot line. What are the design strategies or Have you thought about blank wall treatment right now that you are at your very early design phase? Has that been into account? And if so, could you just give a little background on what's the intent for all blank walls?
Yeah, really the primary blank wall would occur on the east side of the building, the lower level east side. All the other levels, the residential levels are all pulled back, or at least on the side that has the zero lot line, which is really the east. Everything else has frontage around it. So there's opportunity to provide maybe some texture in the building materials. But on the east side, where we are zero lot line on that lowest level, we were looking at working with the exterior material to gain some texture and visual interest. We've also on other jobs have explored things like trellis elements or things like that. So but that is an area where we need to dive in a bit deeper and discover what we want to do there.
And for this south elevation, pretty much adjacent to the parking lot, what is the intent there? Are you guys planning on having openings, some sort of mesh?
That is still to be determined, I would say. We know that we will have some openings for ventilation, but the degree of opening is still to be determined.
Okay. So you are requesting tonight two minor adjustments. I think at once, one is the reduction of depth, and the other one is the setback. Yeah,
the top floor.
Yeah, the top floor. Those two requests, for which of these options apply?
What we are illustrating, let's see, so option C, both of those departures would be requested. For option, I think option B is the only one where we're not showing a plaza, and so not doing the trade-off for the upper setback. For all of the options, the depth of retail is what we would be requesting. And that the reason for that departure request is really to give us a little bit more flexibility, because we're balancing a robust retail space with robust parking compromised by the easement, the sidewalk easement and an alley easement. So having a little bit of flexibility in that average depth would allow us to balance those priorities a little bit more. And so in all of the options that we're currently showing, we have maybe, I think on some of them we have 30 as an average depth, and on a couple of them we might be 28. But these are all still conceptual. They're single line drawings. So once we start adding in wall thicknesses and different things like that, that's where the, you know, when we start to refine it, that's where having a little bit of flexibility would help quite a bit.
So in lieu of those these requests that you presented tonight, what's kind of like the trade-off, or what would be the additional benefit for the pedestrian or the public? Could you just go, if you can just jump to the three options and just highlight?
Yeah, sure, I can do that. Let's see. Yeah, certainly from, again, focusing on the average depth, because that's the one that I believe definitely brings a lot of value to the pedestrian, again, with that trade-off, because we're already providing the additional sidewalk easement. We understand from many, many conversations that parking is really, really important. And so you can kind of see in the plan views how we're balancing the parking with the non-residential spaces. So we believe that that one is a value to in all three options. And the other value for the second departure is really the plaza. We believe that that's a great feature. You know, the open to the sky element, which we're showing on option C, is worth the trade-off, we believe, to that upper level. And yeah, we feel like that's a strong feature, and that's where we would like to make that trade-off.
Thank you.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Carlos. So I was also not present for your first presentation. So I hope my questions, are valuable for everyone here. Can we just step back and talk about your rationale for your site plan? You have a very challenging site. I recognize that. It's a small site, and I appreciate how you have efficiently used your space. Can you explain to me, as far as what the city has required for this project in terms of that alley, and what is the current function of the alley to the south? Well, south, I guess it looks like south on my screen, but basically the alley behind, right? Because I'm trying to understand your circulation and which vehicles are going to be using that new alley and which vehicles are going to use the existing alley, including obviously, I don't know if the neighboring properties also use both alleys.
Yeah, certainly. So the existing condition of the alley on the south side of the property as it butts up against kind of the businesses that are along, is that Central Lane or Park Lane, sorry. Right now there's a couple of main problems with the alley. It's not wide enough as it exists to serve all of those tenants. So, if you were to put a building per code on our property, it would be, I believe it's 16 feet of width there, which is barely enough to get one delivery truck through there going in one direction. I don't know if you've been down there, but we went through a couple different studies. We also met with all the business owners, and they, there's times where there's three or four box trucks sitting there. There's three or four Uber drivers. There's a couple other delivery trucks, and then there's a trash truck trying to get through at the same time. And right now, the way it functions is it uses the train station lot and it uses the U.S. Bank parking lot. That's how the alley functions currently. If those did not exist, the alley wouldn't function. And this was one of the initial issues that we talked about with Public Works. And I think our project is an opportunity to help resolve that issue. Whether it's us or someone else, if you redevelop any of those properties surrounding the alley becomes non-functional immediately. So we have to figure out a way to do that, right, to resolve that issue. So one of the ways that, the city proposed was opening up that alley, and that gives the alley through traffic from Main Street all the way back through Central Way. Right now, the alley just dead ends, basically, or it gets into the parking lot where none of the delivery trucks or trash trucks can turn around there. So the only way it works is through the U.S. Bank parking lot where trucks drive through and they turn out through the parking lot, which wouldn't exist in the future. So opening up that alley allows us to resolve that issue. And then doing the two separate access points where you have one access point for retail parking. If you look at this picture and you look at the existing parking in downtown, the city parking lot, the access to the parking lot, you can see how close it is to the intersection there, which is a pretty dangerous condition. And that's kind of not really what the engineering details are for the city. So, they want to move that, and I think it makes sense to move that. So if you open up that alley, you're moving the entry to the parking lot away from the intersection there, which is very helpful. So it helps resolve that issue. And then we kind of make all of the public parking access from one point. So the city parking lot gets access from one point. All the retail public parking gets access from one point in the new alley opening there. And then by granting easements and widening the alley, we also, on the first floor of the building, we're setting back the first floor of the building so that taller trucks don't have issues, so they can get through in the easement space. That will allow us to handle the trash issue, which is a pretty big issue, and then allow us to provide space for delivery trucks and for trash trucks to get through there. So all of this was kind of the genesis of the conversation around access, and this is where we landed. This allowed us to provide provide increased parking accounts for the city publicly. It allowed us to serve the building with residential parking that's appropriate, and then it allowed us to provide access to all the things that are needed for retail tenants to flourish. One of the big issues
in the downtown area, if we were to build per code to that line, the businesses along Park Lane become non-viable because of the alley condition. So, you know, we're building a building in the downtown core, and we want it to be successful. We want it to fit in. One of the things we have to do is provide high-level services for the businesses downtown. That includes our tenant and then the existing tenants. So by kind of this access layout allowed us to do that. It allows us to provide a high-quality space in our building, and it allows the Park Lane spaces to maintain their high quality and be viable businesses for the future down there. So it's kind of the long-winded answer and how we got to where we are there.
Yeah, that's actually very helpful. So just for clarification, the city's current parking lot, the driveway will be closed and basically consolidated so mm-hmm. that you will be sharing the same access through that unopened alley.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. And there would be, and you've kind of seen it in our different schemes, but we're proposing connecting the intersection through some site planning and landscaping design from the intersection down to the building so that it's an improved pedestrian walkway there.
Mm-hmm. What about that existing alley that you said is substandard currently?
Right? It's not currently a standard width alley.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Who's using that right now?
All the tenants along Park Lane. So all the tenants that face Park Lane, they all of their back of house uses the alley.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So I'm just, and obviously this is, you know, I don't know if you guys have figured this out already, but so that unopened alley technically is going to carry a lot more traffic than just your service vehicles, right?
That's correct, yep.
And it's a two-way alley, right?
Right now it's proposed as a two-way alley, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would say there's some work that needs to be done on the civil and public work side for this project and what ultimately will work best, but.
Yeah, so then the service vehicles of the Park Lane businesses, how do they come in? Like, would they come in through that new opened alley? And then, I mean, they won't have the same. Oh, and then they go to Main Street, or they come in through a Main Street and then come out?
Yeah, currently it's proposed either way. It allows them to go all the way through without having to turn around, frankly. So it sets up the area for future development. And it allows the alley to function. Right mm-hmm. now, there's no turnaround for him.
I see. No. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I do have some other questions.
Is it for me or for Meredith?
Probably for Meredith, based on you know, something she said earlier. I mean, I'm just going to jump around, Meredith, because you know, I was trying to write notes as you were presenting.
Sure.
You said something about for option A, the entry is not the primary feature. So I'm not quite sure what that means.
Well, we were trying to just make the entry in all of the schemes a bit more subtle. In that scheme in particular, we're just creating more of the vertical element, and it happens to occur near the residential entry or mm-hmm. at the residential entry. But we're not trying to celebrate on the pedestrian level what, you know, the residential entry, since it's not a public amenity.
Yeah, that's basically the entry to your residential lobby, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so what you're trying to emphasize would be the retail spaces.
Correct, yes. Okay.
So with the retail areas, is the area that you're providing required by code? I mean, it's pretty generous. I'm happy to see it, but I'm just curious.
Yes, I believe it is required. I don't know if there's a minimum or a maximum or anything like that, but it is required to be a mixed use site.
Okay. And you're required to basically line your entire front with retail?
Yes.
Okay. And then as far as, I know you've explained, I know what. As far as with your open spaces, do you mind showing that diagram? If we can just walk through each of the options. So for option A, is this option A?
Yes, this is option A.
So just to be clear, your property line is in the back of the sidewalk. So you do have some extra area you're providing for outdoor dining, right? Like if let's say if you have a restaurant there, you can actually set up tables and chairs.
Yes, the zones that you see there are on the sidewalk easement. So we have about 5 feet that is a sidewalk easement.
Oh, so where, so how, so what's the 12 feet? Does the 12 feet go up to the face of your building?
Yes. Yes, from the curb to the face of the building.
Okay, and what does the city standard require within the 12 feet? Do they allow basically private use of it?
I don't believe private use, and this would be a public amenity, public use.
Oh, okay. Can you also explain the idea for the Volnerf? You know, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, if you have a pretty, you know, high traffic area, which I feel like this alley is going to be one. Like I usually think of the Volnerf designs for more like, you know, low traffic, more pedestrian friendly, you know, mixed use or mixed pedestrian vehicle space. So what's the rationale for proposing Volnerf there?
Sure. I would say it's not so much a proposal as it was an idea that we thought about that would kind of enhance that corner from a pedestrian standpoint. It could be an opportunity if there's a festival, the vehicle traffic gets blockaded, and then that whole area feels more cohesive, both the alley and the plaza. And so we just saw it as a space where the line is kind of fluid. But yes, recognizing that it would still be a space for both pedestrians and vehicles. We explored various ways to make that separation between the alley and the plaza. And the Wunderf idea was just one of them. On option C, we're showing kind of a little bit of more blending, but with like a trellis or something that would visually separate the plaza from the driveway. So the Runef was an idea that we think is a good idea, but there's certainly more thought. And again, it also depends upon the elevation of that plaza and a lot of different things, factors, to determine if it is would be a successful approach or not.
Mm-hmm. And then as far as your garage, is what you're showing this double-loaded aisle. And I'm assuming most of these are standard stalls.
Yes, that's correct. It's about 50% compacts and standards.
Okay. And as far as your number of parking spaces, is that based on, I mean, I don't know where you sit in the range of minimum to maximum required. I'm just kind of curious, like you mentioned earlier that because of the non-residential space that you're obviously required to provide a certain amount of parking. And just curious as far as, are you at the minimum in terms of what you're providing?
Yeah, what we're showing there is just about code compliant for a restaurant use. So we kind of factored in the most intensive use and the use that would be, you know, celebrated at that location. And that's about what we're showing as far as parking, meeting mm-hmm. that parking demand.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think, let me just double check. Yeah, I think you answered all my questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So now we're going to proceed with our deliberation and discussion. Public. Yes. Anyone in the public here to who wants to address the design review board regarding this project?
There's nobody signed up at this time, but anybody else is willing to speak?
Are there anyone online? that joined us, who joined us. Looks like no one's raising their hands. Okay, so.
Hi, Amy, we actually do have one person online.
Oh, okay. Is that Nancy? Okay. I can't see the raised hand, so.
Oh. Okay, I just got the mute button. Yeah, this is the first time actually a long-term resident in Kirkland at Brezen. And so, you know, interested in the whole design concept and how that fits in with the downtown area. And so, you know, primarily Central is a very active area, and you know, this is adding obviously more volume. And just talking about the ins and outs of the alleyway of the different vehicles, because that alleyway is used quite heavily as it is, you know, by the public as well as, you know, delivery trucks and it's just conceptually, you know, hard to fathom, you know, the additional, you know, traffic and certainly turning off of Central Way, you know, the ins and outs off of Central Way, depending on which direction you're going. And the other thing was, is what is the total heat? I don't quite get the, you know, the angled line and whatnot. And what does it turn out to be in terms of the total height of the structure?
Does the applicant want to answer that question?
Sure. The building height is 45 feet. That's the height limit, the maximum. And with the this particular peak roof, which is 3 and 12, it would the top of the peak can be up to 5 feet above the building height. So 50 feet to the top of the peak.
And what does the peak serve?
Well, architecturally, as we explored it, we thought it brought a lot of visual interest to that roof line, maybe even an element of delight. We thought architecturally it can be a very rich opportunity for the building, for the design.
But is it necessary? Or, is, I mean, are you using it for another purpose?
Yeah, I guess I'm not completely able to answer your question. We think it is necessary from an architectural standpoint. It does provide a lot of visual interest to the building. It's more interesting, certainly from the residents who live across the street and have to look down on the building. It's going to be a lot more visually interesting for them as well.
Well, that would be me.
Okay.
So I guess I'd have to see a more realistic picture view instead of a sketch. And so it's driving it 5 feet higher than the total maximum. That's why I asked if it's serving a specific purpose.
Are you with the applicant?
No, I'm not.
Okay, and you signed up?
I just signed up.
Okay. We can have you talk when it's your turn.
No, but
Thank you. Yeah.
My main question was what the total height was and the purpose of the peak.
Yeah, we will. We appreciate the questions and the comments, and you know, we will definitely take that into consideration.
Yeah, and in addition to the traffic flow, and looks like it's eliminating some of the parking that exists today, opening up the valve. The opening of that one alley.
Yeah, so I'm sure that at their next round of review, we will get a few more details. You know, as you have pointed out, we're still trying to understand what the site constraints are.
Right.
And, you know, and it's very typical to see, you know, whenever you do a site, you know, the redevelopment of a site, some things get moved around. But thank you for your comments and your questions.
Okay, thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you. And we have someone else signed up?
Yeah, we have Lisa Berenson signed up to speak.
Lisa? Please address us through the mic, because we're recording this.
So I'm Lisa Berenson.
Excuse me, Lisa, before you start, do you mind providing us your full name and then your address?
So my full name is Lisa Berenson. My address is 8113 Northeast 110th Place in Kirkland. And I disclosed this at the last design review meeting for this specific project, is that I have over 15 years of designing multifamily prior to getting out of the industry. So I was here at the last design review meeting. Sorry I came late, but I'm just, the last time my understanding was is that they were going to present more development of two different massing studies. So I'm just trying to like catch up, I guess, because that was just option A. Is that correct? That you guys just discussed
tonight?
Yeah.
They actually showed three options.
Okay, so I missed the first two. Is that correct?
If you came in a little later, you may have caught the last one, the option C.
Okay.
But during my question and some of the, you know, when we were asking them questions, they were showing us three different options.
Okay, because the last time I was here, we had talked about what I saw in A was that, you know, making that corner at Central, and the other Marcus Street, making that, you know, a focal corner, and that it was gonna be public, and we had talked about tree canopy and all the other stuff that went along with the massing and concerns about the height, and we had already discussed all this stuff. So I guess, is there a physical packet that I can grab to get caught up? Is there one out there?
We currently,
We printed them out last time just because we were having we were having the IT issues. So,
But
if you want to shoot me an email, I can send you.
Can you send it to me? Okay, that'd be great.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else signed up? Please state your name and your address.
Sure. Thank My you. Name is B. Nayon, and I live at 129 Third Avenue, which is across the street from the applicant's property. And I just want to reiterate my support for the work that they've been doing. It is a challenging site. It's long and narrow. It's got various zoning requirements that you're very intimately aware of, and they have been very, very deliberate and cautious and thoughtful about, including working with the merchants that are to the south of the property. I want to commend them for that. I too share their preference for option C, And recognizing that this is just the massing study, this isn't down to the specifics and the nitty-gritty of the actual final design. That will be at the next step. But I like the way this is going. I like the additional space at Central Way. And I'm very much looking forward to having them as my neighbor. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you. Anyone else online who wants to speak and address the DRB? We have two other people online. If you're interested to speak, please raise your hand. Okay, looks like we don't have anyone else. So we're gonna go ahead and proceed with our discussion. I'm just gonna make this a little bit more free-flowing instead of each one of us speaking, because I thought that, you know, there's some topics that I think would be good for us to discuss and maybe focus. I'm doing this a little differently than what we usually do, but, you know, I know staff ask us to address certain specific design guidelines. So with regards to, you know, again, just to review, the applicant is requesting a departure for the step back, and they are proposing, what is the usual step back? 20 feet? Was that the standard? And they're reducing it down to 5 feet?
Yeah, so the code requires, it's kind of unique, is that anything over 41 feet is required to be at least 30 feet away from the front property line. So they're requesting a reduction of 5 feet of that, which is the maximum that's allowed.
Oh, okay. So technically they're still set back or step back 25 feet. Okay.
With that fourth story, basically.
Yeah, I got it backwards. Okay. And then the other departure was, no, I forgot. What did we just say? The depth of the non-residential.
Yeah.
Thank you. So how about let's talk about that. You guys have any thoughts, any direction or, you know, any, you know, hopefully we can come to a consensus about those two things tonight.
Well, given the site and given the way that they have worked the back alley that joins the property to the south, the retail and a lot of restaurants along there, and that type of thing, I mean, from a developer's perspective, they would love to have 30 feet of depth because it just gives you more leasable space. And so it's really shoehorning this thing in and making it fit and picking up as much parking as they possibly can, because the parking count does really set right on the precipice of a restaurant sitting in there. And so if a restaurant goes in, they need that required parking. And so as you look at this, it's kind of a balloon. You poke it one way and it's going to come out another place. And so the departure from the 30 feet down to, or whatever the average is,
25.
I think you're asking for 20, they're asking for 25 feet,
yeah,
but
25.
They're going to push for more than 20, or they want more, they don't want to really go less than 25 because that reduces their revenue. And so you've really got to look at that and just say, okay, they're shoehorning this in and taking advantage of about everything they can to come up with a compromise that works for them. And I fully support what they're doing.
Yeah, I am. Carlos or Supriya, anything to add?
I thought you were asking about the upper story setback.
Well, there's two. So Randall just started with the down, okay. You know, the non-residential space. So let's focus on that, and then let's go with the upper floor.
The non-residential space, is it more about the entry on the...
It is the depth.
That's another, yeah. That's a third one.
Yeah, and I understand that. I'm okay with that being reduced.
Mm-hmm.
The parking, just like what Randall said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Carlos?
I agree with Randall and Supriya. I think that it is where it is, and they are pushing the back of the building. it's going to have an effect at the front, and that's what is, to my belief, causing this minor request for 25 steps. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same way too. And actually, I'm impressed that, you know, they are providing what we're losing in terms of the depth. You know, we're maintaining the fact that most of the frontage is going to be active space with the retail. For me, as you know, someone as a pedestrian, right? That's what's important to me. And you know, I appreciate what Randall said about, you know, the fact that this is really going to challenge, you know, what type of businesses they can get in there. I mean, they have to fit the back of the house somewhere. And it's, you know, it's going to be a shallow space. And so we, you know, I'm supportive of it too. Yeah. How about the upper floor, the 5 foot reduction in the step back? So they're still stepping back 25 feet from the facade.
Amy, I'm sorry. Just before we move on from that one, I just wanted to kind of reiterate One thing on this is that obviously we're not making, you guys aren't making a decision on the modification, you're just kind of providing some direction to the applicant. So for this particular modification, the criteria says the requirement is not feasible given the configuration of existing and proposed improvements, and the design of the retail frontage will maximize visual interest. Was there anything that you would like to see to kind of to meet those criteria? I think that's kind of what we're looking for direction for the applicant with the design response.
Yeah. Do you guys want to take a stab at that?
I'll take a stab. This is where I support option C as the option where you've eased the corner. You've got a plaza at the northwest corner that gives that alleyway a little bit more breadth. And if something happens on the parking lot, which more than likely will, and so it really gives a better connection, a softer connection, and a pedestrian connection coming down to, you know, as pedestrians come down from, you know, from the baseball field or whatever, coming down. And I think as they come along the front of it, they option three reduces the lobby area of the residential. Yeah, there's a vertical element there, but it's got a plaza in front of it. And so they've articulated or the front of that to give it, you know,
some modulation,
a pedestrian modulation
and relief.
And that, yeah. And as you really go up and down the street and you look at what has been done with the buildings across the street from the baseball diamond on the north side of Central Way, it's kind of that same way. They're using angles and they're different things to really modulate that front, so it just isn't a straight front. Mm-hmm. And that then plays into really what one of the characters of downtown Kirkland is. I use the term eclectic approach. I mean, if you go into the design guidelines, they use another term, but it's that eclectic element that gives downtown Kirkland the feel. And there's just not much of that left in the Northwest. And Kirkland being as close to the water as it is downtown and that type of thing, this approach starts to set up what the rest of downtown needs to be. Because we're going to see Park Lane, we're going to see Kirkland Way and Lake Street redevelop over the next 15, 20, 25, 30 years. And this is first one on the block within that block and starts to set that standard. And I think they do that.
Anyone else?
I think having the Central Way, the retail space much lighter. You know, it's taller, but maybe making it more transparent would definitely benefit. So when you're doing your selection of materials, I think having that interface with the street, pedestrian interface, would be really important. So that transparency between the pedestrians in whether it's a restaurant or retail space, I think would really help. With regards to option C, and I know I'm going into the next option, but I think it kind of works both ways. For the massing, I actually like option B, just because it gives a more vertical element to a very horizontal building. But I understand the reasoning for a plaza space. I was just wondering if that could be more in the center of the building. Just talking about how this alley is going to be used with people, whether it's deliveries and trash, and if that spot is really the right spot, or is it more in the center of the building to give it much more activity in the center, right, other than that corner where there's going to be more vehicular traffic? And do we want to look at, is that going to be a safety issue? Even if we try to use, whether it's paving materials or colors in paving to make it safer, is that really the right place? And that would be my question, really.
So I have some thoughts on that too, but I'm going to
Save
that for later.
I think it's more.
But I'm glad you raised that, because I do have some thoughts on that too. Yeah.
But for the width, I think making that retail mixed use space at the lower level more transparent and lighter, because you're going to have a heavier mass on top, would be really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Carlos?
I think that Randall and Supriya just said it right. I think that just doing taking a quick look at the existing conditions, revitalizing the alley, it's something that is needed, especially since there are going to be living spaces above the second and third floor facing that alley. I think that's kind of like a good trade-off. I think at 5 feet, considering just the circumstances of the site, it's a fair assessment of what it's required in order for the whole building to work and not just the front of the building. And as Supriya said, there are several architectural techniques that can be used in order to bring more attention to the north that is facing Central Way, as well as just the additional patios and sidewalks that the applicant is proposing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So some thoughts. First, I have to confess, I wasn't thrilled when I saw the garage driveway cutting through your street frontage. It really cuts off your site, and it's almost like an interruption to the pedestrian or the public realm. But given after what you've described and, you know, the way you explained the rationale for the circulation on site, I'm not really sure that there's, you know, a better option. Like, I would have preferred that your garage driveway would have been accessed through that alley, but unfortunately it's a substandard alley. Having said that, and given what we have today, there's two things that I hope you guys would reconsider. One has to do with what Supriya said, and I'm going to kind of add to that. One of my impression of your open spaces is that they're right next to the vehicular entries. And if there's a way, I would rather see you provide just one open space, but it's surrounded by the non-residential uses and separated from any of the vehicular access. And as far as with this departure request in terms of detailing, this is where, again, I think it will work better. Consider using those, I think I'm not really sure what they call them, but they're storefronts, but they're the ones that goes up and down like a garage door, so that in the summertime, you can open it up and it expands the space of your retail or your non-residential use and spills out into the sidewalk. I don't know, staff, whether or not the city has any flexibility to allow for like summertime private use of, you know, part of the sidewalk for outdoor dining. But if possible, then I think that would also help with, you know, them not having the full depth, but at least still being able to, benefit from the street, you know, having a generous 12-foot wide sidewalk. Other things that I would encourage you guys to look at is the quality of the materials at the ground level, using a lot more like warm colors and more organic materials like wood or brick would, you know, or stone, if possible. I think that would also make a big difference. Okay, so let's move on to the other departure. Basically the floors above 41 feet and being stepped back 25 feet instead of 30 feet.
I would support going from the 30 to the 25. And I think you used part of that in, you know, the pedestrian plaza down below, you're picking up square footage. And so to drive part of that 25, or to go from 30 to 25, you need the square footage, or you're getting the credit one-to-one for the plaza you provide below, you get the credit of 1 foot above. I believe that's happening. And so we've got a Rubik's Cube going on here. Again, you punch the balloon and it goes one way. And so, I would support it. I don't see, as you look at the buildings around it and that type of thing, and then also the sloped roof above it, or the sloped aspect of it, actually gives it a different look than others downtown. And I like the idea that it minimizes the flat roof, because I don't recall what happened on the Vila site where you've got the condos that are up on the hill looking down across the roof of the new building, and whatever happened to that and how they ended up finishing that roof off, because that's, you know, there's about six stories of residents that are looking down across that. And so we have that same thing here on the north side of the street. You've got residents looking down onto this roof. And so I guess if you classify it as a fifth elevation, it needs to be treated in such a manner that is aesthetically pleasing for those that are looking on it. It's just not a black or a white roof. So I think you're headed that direction. So I would support it.
Yes. Thank you, Randall. Carlos?
I think I'm also in favor of the, I think it's a setback reduction, right? 5 feet setback reduction. As Randall stated, across the street, there's a series of buildings, and the view that they are going to get is to the roof, and to all the roof mounted equipment. So just the added height serves as a type of a screening as well. I think that would be the actual added benefit to the public and to whoever else lives around this area. I don't think that's gonna be issue, and that's gonna actually enhance, mm-hmm. if there's a way to enhance it, the visual quality of the adjacent buildings, mm-hmm. are gonna look over this.
Yeah. And Supriya, anything to add?
No, I think the
The setback, I think, is fine. I would definitely like to see, if you have the sloped roof, and I think you talked a little bit about clear story windows, it would be really nice to see how that's being used and how that's integrated in the facade, because I think that will emphasize that sloped roof, because I think otherwise it's hard to really make out that roof. There's only a portion of it, because isn't the center of it flat? Or it's only at the,
So right. Yeah.
Just giving that, if you're putting in the clear story, I think would definitely emphasize that.
Yeah. So I totally agree with all three of you. Some of the things that I would just add. So, you know, Carlos mentioned that, you know, in some ways your slope roof serves as the rooftop mechanical equipment screening. I would really encourage you to, you know, when you come back next time, to redesign it in such a way that, you know, right now, the way I look at your slope roof, it's almost like a mansard roof. If there's a way that you can redesign it so that it's well integrated to the massing of your building instead of kind of tacked on, and then using the height of it to screen your mechanical equipment. Again, I don't know if there's any limit to, you know, if the height of 45 feet includes the mechanical equipment screening. And I'm going to defer to staff on that. The other thing that I think would help is when you come back next time to provide us with perspective views from the street. And, you know, wherever you have these vantage points where pedestrians will see your building, I personally suspect because of the step back, I mean, even though you're asking 25 feet of reduction, 5 feet of reduction, 25 feet is pretty generous. I suspect that you won't even perceive the height above for, you know, the 41 feet. So, but I think that it would really help the DRB make that determination, you know, of, you know, how your request for departure is really, you know, not a concern. And then as far as, as far as, again, the one thing that I would also encourage you to do is, given that you do have that 25 feet of roof, if you can use that as a green roof or some sort of recreational amenity for your residents. And again, you know, this building is not very high or tall, so having people up there in the summertime enjoying themselves and being, you know, there's still that connection with the street, even though you're not, you know, the activity's not at the ground floor, you know, just, I think that would be great. So now I wanted to take us back to the bigger discussion on massing, since this was what we have asked them to bring back to us for this meeting. Carlos, would you like to start?
After looking at all the three options, I feel more inclined to option C. I think that the massing that they presented really gives a character to the northwest portion of the building, in which the patio extends, well, the plaza extends to the below. I looked at the other two options, and option B didn't really got a lot of rhythm and defined geometry. Mm-hmm. It seems that it's just a series of elements that are extruded and the others are flat. And option one didn't present a lot of visual interest as option C. I don't know if others agree.
I preferred option B because it cut the verticals. It's a long building, and I didn't see a lot of massing that would sort of break that horizontality. Mm-hmm. And I
thought B did a little bit of that with those words.
Base.
Again, it will all depend on how you do the treatment and what materials you apply. Right. But I didn't see that on option C, and option C was so dependent on that corner plaza that if that went away, then what do you, how do you treat that building? That's one of the reasons I was thinking that option B, or maybe there's a different way to treat it, whether it's with materials, they're able to break the horizontality of that length.
And I think that, you know, when I looked at each option, there's merits for each, and you guys are identifying them. And so what I would encourage the applicant is to take what we're calling out as the good of each option, and if you could possibly combine them into, you know, your next iteration. Because in my mind, just listening to what my fellow members are saying, I think you could incorporate all of them into one design. And Randall hasn't spoken yet.
I'll throw something in before.
Yes.
I'm not at all thrilled about option B.
Mm-hmm.
This option B is a standard, how do I say this to be polite? Run-of-the-mill, let's go vertical, and how do we get a deck or a balcony in between two verticals? And it's used on every single residential out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think C actually has somewhat of an eclectic look to it that starts to look like downtown. And what I'm leaning on here is if you look at other projects that this particular architectural and development firm has done, the facility where PCC is, exceptional. That's very well done. Now, we'll pick apart the back entrance to the parking lot and the garbage, and so, you know, that. But if you look at the rest of the building and how that fits into the site and fits down, and you look at their other work, that's where I'm looking at as I look at each of these, is that option C actually, I mean, we start talking about vertical aspects of buildings. It's a four-story building, isn't a vertical building. That's a horizontal building. And we need to give them the ability to work the horizontality of this, because I think they can make that work. They've got the residential entrance, the insert, but getting as much, I mean, it's really the pedestrian. What happens above is kind of immaterial to the rest of it. It's really that pedestrian interaction in the city, because even today, walking around today and watching the interaction of people with everything and that sort of thing, they weren't walking around looking at the building.
Except me.
It's that interaction.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I know what you mean.
I like C. I feel that C has the greatest potential. That it isn't just a, because B is kind of rhythmic, and C gives them kind of an eclectic approach to do some different things. And I take that back over to the PCC building. You look at the east elevation where they've popped out, not exactly bay windows, but windows that come out, but you go up two stories and it drops back, and then you've got something totally different above it. And so it's got a lot of variance to it. It isn't, you know, and fortunately downtown Kirkland is better, much better than Redmond, because everything is the same in Redmond. And I'm sorry, B starts to look like,
yes.
I'm sorry. That's just my opinion. My recommendation is really giving him, some of the verticality and that type of thing of B, but there's for me, there's too much rhythm, and it needs to have the ability to organically move around. and work, because, you know, the term I use is we've got an eclectic downtown, and we've got to keep a hold of that. That's an opinion. That's not in the design standard.
Yeah. So. Do you guys mind showing us the option C while Randall's talking? Sorry, I should have requested for it before he finished talking.
And this is Amy's point, though. It's not just option B. I think there are elements of each option that you can look at and see the pluses and minuses.
Randall,
what you're looking for, Amy, or do you want the?
This is good. This is good. So here, Randall, what you're talking about with the eclectic is, are you talking about the northeast view? Because the southwest aerial view, that's the alley. That's where they get back to the more,
That's the back of the building.
Right.
And it's going to look at the back of another building across the alley. And so it's not as, now you could flip that over and put it on the north side. And to me, that'd be very boring. It's really that northeast area or the north side of the building along Central that they bring part of it down to the base. They cantilever part of it out, and I think there's just a lot more that you can do with it, and do some creative things and that type of thing. But it just plus it has less, you know, it has less residential lobby, and you've really downplayed that other than kind of a vertical element in there. And I think material usage is going to tie that all off and bring it together also.
Okay. All right. So.
What do you think, Amy?
Yeah. So I actually prefer option A. And do you mind showing option A? I agree with all of you, okay? There's value to the verticality, but like Randall, I felt like downtown Kirkland is special in the sense that, as he said, you know, the kind of architecture and design that we get, they're really very distinct. Like, it's not your everyday America, like what you see and he said it in Redmond, right? And so in another context, I think option B would have been great, but because of this location, I kind of was tossing between option A and option C. Now, once I took into consideration how small this project is, again, I found that there's some elegance in option A with the way the massing is just broken up into just two major massing instead of having all these horizontality and all these, you know, voids and solids. And so is this option A? Oh, yes. Okay. So, yeah. So see how on the northeast view, like you basically just have two, like, rectangular cubes, right, on the facade. Like, you don't have as many of the, you know, smaller massing breaking up the facade. I think in this project, it's actually the right proportion because it's such a small project. I think if this was like one of our massive 130 unit apartment buildings, it would be overwhelming and not very attractive. And it makes me feel almost like it's like what you would see in a village type of environment, you know, where you would have one building, you know, and Randall, you've mentioned this before, like the European buildings, right? Where, you know, when you look at them, they're technically just a rectangular building, but it's because of the articulation and the level of detailing that makes them so beautiful. And so I can see this potentially with the right materials and with the right detailing, something simple like this would be very elegant. you know, the other interesting thing that I thought, it's too bad it's in the back of the building, but that rounded corner, I thought is very interesting also. It almost gives it a little bit of emphasis and, you know, a corner emphasis. And I don't know to what extent you could incorporate that to the front of the building. I mean, it's fine where it is, but it could be something interesting also, just something. And then as far as, you know, the roof, right now I can see the roof better. It looks like your mechanical equipment is a lot taller than the slope roof. So maybe it's not feasible to do what I suggested earlier.
I don't think that's necessarily mechanical equipment. That's elevator.
Elevator. Right.
And then it's their rooftop amenity.
Oh, are you going to have a rooftop amenity there?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it isn't.
I'll leave it up to you. If you can find a way to make your roof line, you know, incorporate the slope roof, you know, incorporate that room, you know, an elevator, you know, shaft to the form of your roof, that will be great. Yeah. So do you have any questions for us? I know we didn't give you, hopefully it's clear to you guys why, you know, the merits of each elevation, and that it's, unless you need us to give you a little bit more direction.
Yeah, no, I'm totally agree with Mr. Randall and with you. And option A and C, they are kind of separate, not separate, a little different, but the idea is combine them. We incline with the C because we have these two plazas, and it's the integration between the community, the building, the retail, the residents. So we like that this kind of integration, but also I can see the A in terms of the exterior volumes and the balcony's location, in my personal opinion, looks better than option C. But I think we really understand what you are saying.
Great.
So we are going to work with a combination of A and C, but obviously our preference is C in terms of the plazas and the integration of the building. The other thing is having the plaza in the middle is giving us opportunity to give some kind of verticality, but also the rest of the building is horizontal. So is where we start to create this eclectic style, but also taking a lot of things that we have in the option A. For example, in the south of this option A is my preference that what we have in C. So we can incorporate those options in C. And we know that we have this verticality on the south, but I think that will be more the continuation of the horizontality and connection with the north and the east side. So there is a lot of work to do on this, but what I'm trying to say is we understand exactly what you're recommending.
Yeah, good. So the one thing that I would like to request is a study on just having one plaza instead of two, and like what I said earlier, separated from the, you know, the vehicular access, like. Right now, your plazas, you're showing them right next to the garage entrance and also the alley. Can you show us an option where the plaza is actually surrounded by the non-residential and, you know, they're not next to the driveway?
Well, the thing is, in the previous presentation, we have option C with the plaza in the center, not plaza. And in fact, we didn't have plaza in the northwest corner at all. We brought this one as per recommendation in that meeting.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So that's why the plaza is in the northwest.
Right.
But the original proposal, it wasn't a plaza in that corner.
Okay.
But the plaza in the center was in the option C all the time.
Okay. So the question for the DRB is, were you guys clear that that alley is going to be very busy? And that's going to be where all the delivery trucks and trash trucks are going to come in addition to all the, you know, people parking in the city parking lot.
I think having the plaza in the northwest actually is very beneficial. It opens the view. It doesn't just provide a building that is just continuous. It gives a little bit of buffer, a break, as you start getting into the commercial. I think at the plaza it's an actual benefit of that. Mm-hmm. It invites the pedestrian to start walking through that street rather than just having a continuous building that just wraps the corner and keeps going through the alley. So for option C, I'm in favor of the plazas as they are proposed. I think that having two plazas brings more benefit than having one plaza. I think that provides more benefit also for the commercial uses because it's more inviting and it gives more exposure to the future tenants that might move in there. But that's my belief. I don't know, Randall, if you have any other thoughts.
I feel it softens the corner. And otherwise, you've got a 90-degree corner right there. Mm-hmm. And so you got an alley of 93, and you're going to need a sight line through there and something around because yeah. This alley is not going to be just strictly trucks, cars. And I don't think it's going to be absolutely that ridiculous because it's really kind of akin to what we've got up at PCC.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that particular retail space has the maximum number of trucks and traffic in and out of it, and it really isn't that bad. I mean, I'm in and out of PCC probably twice a day, and so you're really dealing the same thing with the front plaza that you have there, and really I think on this one it provides. Okay, is it a usable place where somebody's going to sit in a chair and the car is going to go back and forth behind them? Maybe, maybe not. It depends on if a restaurant, coffee shop, whatever goes in there. But it's really a matter of brings that building in pedestrian-wise. And it just isn't a 90-degree corner right there waiting for the next building to come up against it. Mm. And it hopefully... You know, if the city or whatever happens to the surface parking lot, which is not highest and best use, and so I assume that someday something may happen there, you're going to want to do the same thing on the building next to it so that you really get that working. Because, I mean, you really look at it, an alley carries a connotation that it's an alley. There's garbage, there's junk, you don't want to go there. But if you look at, I believe it's classified as an alley between Via or whatever where Hector's was and Bank of America. When you look at that alley, it actually has some retail or some business frontage on it, and it's got a lot of residential balconies along it. And so you look down that towards Merrill Gardens, and it starts to pick up almost a European flavor. Narrow, high residential. And I can see the same thing because when you take the park lane and you look at what's going to happen there, they can go 40 feet, 41 feet there too. And so the buildings there are not highest and best use. They will be mm-hmm. replaced eventually. Mm-hmm. And so
this is going to set the precedent.
Yeah, and so, but this project starts to set a precedence mm-hmm. for this whole block, mm-hmm. and that's why I'm really looking at it as trying to keep that kind of eclectic mm-hmm. look that Kirkland has a very special downtown, and we've. Over the last couple of years, we've spent a lot of time looking at Redondo Beach, over at Edmonds, that type of thing. And there just isn't anything like Kirkland.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just don't want to destroy it in the process. It needs to have a feel to it that works. And I think, and that's why I see C gives the design team and the development team a very kind of eclectic building to work with, and we get to take them back to task in the, you know, the design review conference and that, but they've seemed to perform very well in the past. So mm-hmm. I'm just looking at that.
Yeah. So I know we focus a lot on the facade on Central. How about the three other facades as far as the way they articulated the building and the massing? Is there any one particular that you find to be more, you know, interesting and more appropriate?
I, you know, again, it's, as you, I'm trying to pull them up here. As you look at, you know, B, A, B, you know, C and B south elevation are about the same. I kind of see the elevation on A as a little bit different and possibly something that would work in conjunction with it. And that, I mean, in the west elevation that faces onto the parking lot, the surface parking lot, I guess I look at that and I just see that they've, the, you know, A and C, you know, A kind of picks up a little bit of B, but C again gives kind of a playful, it's got some eyebrows in there, it's got some different things going on there to where the architects can play with it. And it's not as rigid. I just feel that the elevation on B seems very rigid and that. And so I, you know, I just, and it emphasizes the vertical aspect of the building, which I think for all practical purposes, we could push everything down about three floors and keep it one story in downtown would keep the nature of what's there, but that's not what, you know, that's not what zoning code is allowing and that type of thing. And so when you go horizontal, you do tend to pull the building down visually.
Okay. Anyone else have any thoughts?
I think that the northwest view is going to be the most prominent view. Option B, as Randall stated, is pretty much just a box with extrusions, with very modulated extrusions, mm-hmm, which mm-hmm. doesn't really bring a lot of character or interest mm-hmm. other than just the opportunity to create balconies. But just talking about real massing, mm. the volumes do not express a lot. It's just very cosmetic elements that...
It's very formal.
Yeah. Option A and C, they have some similarities. However, option C brings more interest because it identifies the volumes in a more clean way. They have, again, their main volume that is at the back. It's the one that is pushed back 25, 30 feet mm-hmm, from Central mm-hmm. Way. But still, with the element of the, that is this obstruction where the plaza begins mm-hmm. and the other element above, that starts creating some changes in the geometry. I think that's bringing a lot of character, and that's what makes the difference between A and C. So I don't have, I have preference for option C. Now looking at the back, I think at the, you're gonna end up with what you've seen, which is pretty much a very similar schemes. They don't have a lot to work around there other than trying to work around the idea of having the trucks coming in and out and how they are gonna work with the residential units above. Mm-hmm. I think that's gonna be one of the biggest challenges for the applicant to figure out a way to make those units above pleasing. And at the same way for the trucks to find a way with, I don't know, landscaping buffers or some other design techniques that might help basically enhance that area. So it doesn't become just a place where just the other buildings place their garbage, but it also creates a more improved area. It's a tough one, this one, but I think that we'll need to see until we get to the next step, mm-hmm. how they are gonna attack that one. And for the Northeast, again, this building is pretty close to the property line. So I'm guessing that the next building that gets developed there will start covering that. We saw that with the buildings that are in front of the baseball field where the Bartell Drugs used to be. However, the first came and then the other one started being developed, and that started covering these quote-unquote Northeast mm-hmm. Views. So in the future, something is going to get developed and it's going to cover it. And I think the way that the extrusions and the voids are working in option C, it actually helps soften that in a way and start connecting with the future development on the east. Mm-hmm. So I think I feel more inclined to the way that the geometry is broken with option C, because the plaza and the element above, one is in a void and the other one is an extrusion, start defining the volumes, the geometry of the building. And then you're going to have the material treatment, which is going to help define more those mm-hmm. elements.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, I like though how you you know you took basically the corner, right? It's not just one facade, not just the north or the west, but the northwest view, like you said. Now you're looking at it as a composition, and you know the massing is really going to be perceived with two sides and not just one side. And when you take both, you know, the way you described it, you know, made me, like, you sold me to option C.
Yeah, and on the previous meeting that we had, I believe that I asked the city if they had any plans for the parking lot, because that's a public space. They said that at this time they don't have any plans. So I think that giving that buffer and defining the geometry in a clean way, or in a more clean way, rather than just having series of modulation mm-hmm. or series of extrusions and voids, I think that that's going to bring more interest mm-hmm. to what we are seeing here mm-hmm. rather than the other two options.
Yeah, I think I agree with you and Randall too, that, you know, option A and C, I think the, you know, it's more playful and it's not as predictable as the way option B was treated. Supriya, any other thoughts?
The only other thing I would think is if the focus is on the facade on Central Way, I think the other, and then maybe the northwest facade, but keeping it simple on all the other facades, I think, just using good materials and simple treatment mm-hmm. For this, because the scale of this building is not big, I think would help.
Yeah. I tend to, I'm more forgiving of their southwest, you know, or the whatever that longer facade is, because it's facing an alley. And like what Carla said, you know, there's a lot more things that they need to take into consideration to make those units livable, you know, given that they're overlooking service, you know, what's technically a service alley. And with a lot of the push and pull of a very small site, you know, if you guys can just make your Central Way facade so excellent, and with, you know, obviously the use of materials and the detailing, and as we mentioned earlier, your ground floor treatment and your public realm treatment, you know, I can totally support, you know, your, you know, the, you know, however you want to treat your, you know, your, what I'm calling the backside, the alley side.
I'm going to go counter to that. The back alley, the one-story buildings to the south are going to go away someday. And they're going to be three stories, four stories of residential also. And so you're going to have residential on residential. And that alley, the service, you know, we're going to pick you apart, the applicant apart, on how are you picking up your garbage? Where are your garbage bins? How are you storing it? What are you doing? The same thing's going to happen to those buildings there. Right, what we see there right now doesn't work. But what 25 years is going to do is clean that all up. And I would just request everybody to go down and just walk where the old Hector's was and just walk that up to Merrill Gardens, because that's an alley. That now is a European street. It's narrow, but it's got balconies on it. It's got a whole bunch of things to where it's very, you look at it and you go, this isn't bad at all. And garbage trucks drive up and down it. Service trucks drive up and down it. And so to design something for today and not think about where it may actually go tomorrow, and the buildings to the south are going to be doing the same thing. They're going to probably be doing a 2-foot easement, widening that alley, doing a few different things there and that, but we're going to see that really start to clean up. Yeah. And so at least that's what my expectation would be. Yeah. And so I look at that back elevation of it. It isn't front and center on the main drag, but if you're sitting in the parking lot, or if that parking lot stays, and I mean, that's city property, I'm not sure what the city will do with that, but you've really got a view down that alley, and it's going to be there over time. So that's just my opinion on it, is that I would say don't back down too much, but I mean, Central Way is the key focus. Central Way and then the southwest elevation.
Where you have the plaza.
Are the two. And that corner or whatever you do there. But the key to it is how do you get the pedestrian interaction on Central Way? Mm-hmm. And how do you get them onto the site coming past it? And how do you get them out of the parking lot or out of downtown Lake Street and headed back up the street? And that's where this project is kind of a cornerstone of setting that up, is the way I see it. And that, because we don't, you know, the parking lot may end up being a park. I mean, I don't know. I believe it's city property. It is city property, right? I would hope that they would not relinquish it to four stories of apartments, because it just is that open area that, even though it's a parking lot, it's an open area that gives it an airy feel, and hopefully it stays. But the other aspects of Park Lane and that are going to be this type of style of building. And so that alley will get cleaned up.
Yeah.
So I'm very optimistic.
So just for clarification, Randall, when I look at that southwest aerial, so I totally agree with you that these are still, I mean, these are going to be occupied residential units. So they have to be treated in a way that, again, I mentioned earlier, you know, for the livability. So and there's many ways that you can do that. When I look at the southwest aerial, that facade is pretty flat compared to all the modulation and how they broke up the massing along Central. So for me, what I meant when I said, you know, I'm more forgiving for that southwest facade, is saying that, you know, oh, okay, thank you. So this is option C. So option C, thank you. So just for clarification, I was looking at option A. So option C has definitely a lot more, modulation. So what you're saying, Randall, is that you definitely like the treatment of the southwest facade of option C.
Option C.
Okay. That we're fine. Yeah, let's yeah, let's keep
I
it.
I agree
yeah.
with you on that.
Okay.
On that. I was looking more to the back alley, the alley that faces on to the retail and the restaurants to the south.
Mm-hmm.
That we need to treat that one pretty much front and center, because that out. I mean, if you're a resident and you got a balcony overlooking an alley, we hopefully clean up the alley.
Great. Yeah. Okay. The one thing that I didn't mention earlier, and I think Randall, you did mention something to the effect of the weather protection or the canopies in one of the options. I wanted to also say I agree. Somehow, in terms of making the ground floor a lot more intimate, and you know the pedestrian scale, I think that having the canopies helped. I don't know, Carlos, you or Supriya, do you have any thoughts?
I think that the applicant will need to comply with the weather protection, so canopies are going to be placed.
Yeah, they're not showing canopies because it's on tree.
Right now it's conceptual,
yeah.
So it's only massing.
Yeah,
we are talking, and we came here to discuss just the massing. So pretty sure that the applicant is going to come back during the next phase with more architectural elements that will comply with the design guidelines.
Okay.
Yeah, just to clarify, so that was one of the directions from the previous meeting was to kind of, because they did have the canopies on there and it was kind of taken away from the massing, looking at the massing.
Okay.
So they removed them, but yeah, like Carlos says, they're required to have at least 80% of the facade.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right, that's good to know. We'll expect to see that at your next iteration. Okay, so I think we're... maybe what we can do now is just provide the applicant with what type of materials we'd like to see for the next meeting.
I kind of started a list here.
Oh, thank you.
And I kind of read what I've heard. So obviously it sounds like you guys are okay with moving forward with option C to the design response conference. And what I heard was, here are some of the things you wanted to look at, have them look at. Obviously, we talked about the overhead weather protection, but also there's a discussion about the relationship to the landscaping and making sure that those, if they do landscaping on along there, it doesn't take away from the use of the overhead weather protection. There was some discussion about the treatment of blank walls. I think there are some blank walls on the site. We'll want to have them pay extra attention to those. Along the Central Way facade, you want to look at some glazing and architectural details along that facade to provide that character there. There were some discussions about different types of glazing, whether it's, if they could look at garage doors, stuff like that. We'll also have them provide some details on ability to do sidewalk cafes and that kind of thing. There was some discussion about the sloped roof elements and maybe looking at adding clear story windows to those elements. I did hear as far as the third story terrace, that's the one where it projects the 25 feet, looking at adding some landscaping and residential amenities into that area. And just looking to use materials to help break up the facades, different uses of materials, colors, things like that to help with that. So anything else?
I think that we also are used to seeing the material sample board. So any materials that the applicant might propose, I think that it would be beneficial for everyone to just get a feel of what you guys are proposing. Elevations, color elevations, identifying materials. Anything else, Randall?
And, in the presentation is having it in a 3D model so we can manipulate the model, look around and be able to watch,
Yeah, if possible.
Look at it from whatever angles we want to look at, or is reasonably practical.
a site lighting plan. I think that we've asked for that in the past.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and in terms of the perspective, you know, I mentioned earlier, I'd like to see street views, you know, what a pedestrian would perceive or see of your building. You know, maybe one view will be standing across the street, and then the other is where, you know, if you were standing in your plaza. You know, those are just two examples, but I think, like, if you can do a northwest view and a, let's see, a northeast view, so both from central way. So I think those are critical for our understanding, especially with the, you know, again, like with the, you know, with the concern about the height of your building, which is not a I don't think that it's going to be a concern, but I think that that would really help your project.
One additional thing I was brought up was cross sections. Any specific areas you'd like to see for the cross sections?
I would like to see cross sections through at least on the first floor to look at that 2 foot. I'm curious, curious about that, how that works, and how to, you know, how you may work that and that type of thing, and how the, you know, the parking garage, below grade parking garage, comes out, and that, and also in your material boards and that. We really do need to look at what your roof materials are, because you do have residential looking down on top of you. And so what, I mean, if you want to classify it as a fifth elevation, you know, a black tar roof just may not make it. but just so we're, you know, because you've got a variety of things that are climbing up the hill to the north, and that type of thing, and again, we just want to make sure that as we go through, how it can be simple, but it can be very pleasant to the people around it.
Just last item for the public plazas, just more refined information for any benches, pavers, selection, lighting. I think that would be beneficial for us to understand what the applicant is proposing for these public amenities.
Yeah, so if you can do a rendering, like a, you know, an artist rendering of what those two plazas would look like just to give us an understanding of the ambiance and, you know, the programming, that would be very helpful. Okay. I think we got everything. Well, thank you.
We have one clarifying question from the applicant.
Okay, go ahead.
You guys have mentioned some other areas that you've talked about in the past that you like. Redondo Beach is one you talked about. Are there areas that we should tour that the board likes or has referenced in past processes?
Not at this scale.
Yeah,
this is pretty small. So I think that honestly, for inspiration, downtown Kirkland, you know, this is why, I totally agree with Randall. There's something special about downtown Kirkland. Miraculously, we have managed to preserve what's special about it, despite all the developments that's going on. And
I mean, you just spend a lot of time in Kirkland. But I mean, I've lived here for over 40 years, and you take a sunny day like today, like, you know, in this coming week, we're supposed to have a bunch of sun and heat. Your office may not like this. Take some time and go out and just sit. Walk around, watch people, and take the projects that have been done and walk around the projects that haven't been done, that could be in the future, and just watch the people. I mean, I learned a lot today just walking along and just watching. And Kirkland is special, and I just hope that we keep it that way.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so I think we can go ahead and wrap up the meeting tonight. Do we need to make a motion for ending this meeting? I can't remember.
I think we still have on the agenda.
Oh, the, yeah.
Administrative items. I think, Amy, you were going to say
yes.
A few things.
Okay, yes. Thank you for reminding me. You can tell I'm eager to go home. Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, acknowledge and thank Shoshana Cohen, you know, one of our colleagues for her service. You know, it's a great loss to know that she decided to move on. But again, I just wanted to officially just thank her for her service to the city of Kirkland. And obviously, you know, personally for me, I was a new member when she was the chair, and how she handled our meetings was such a great example for me on how to facilitate these meetings. So we're going to miss her, you know, badly, but, you know, we also wish her the best.
Thank you, Amy. And the city council mayor and deputy mayor will be presenting her a service award.
That's great.
Her work,
yeah.
Her work.
Yeah. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Okay. So now we can go ahead and...
Someone can make a motion.
Make a motion.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
Someone wants a
second.
Great. Anyone say aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Anybody who disagrees, say nay? You don't want to go home? Okay. Motion holds.
We're adjourned.
We're adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.